Hello, good morning, and a very warm welcome to everybody, especially if you're new or here for the first time. And do please come and join us after the service for a cup of tea or coffee, excuse me, in the Mayo Hall behind the church here. This is the first of three services today. There's all-age worship at 11:30, and then there's reflective worship this evening at 6:30. Not me. Oh, I see. Oh, sorry. And this was left in the foyer, Tony tells me. So please do come and reclaim it if it's yours. The reason I'm here today is, as you may have guessed, because of our excursion to Bognor on Saturday, which I've been working on a bit, and I've got so excited about the whole thing that I even sat down and wrote a brief, you'll be pleased to hear, a brief poem about it. So here we go. Time to dig out your bucket and dust off your spade, and to romp in the sunshine or chill in the shade. The ocean's just perfect for paddling or dips, and there's ice cream and whelks, and of course, fish and chips. So get down to the office and pay the small fee that unlocks all the fun of a day at the sea. Slip into those sandals and prepare to impress your fellow sun seekers on the Bognor Express. And a couple of pieces, just a quick couple of pieces of news, or some updates. There still is room left on the coach, so it's not too late to sign up. And you don't even have to wait till Monday to get your place on the Bognor Express. You can do so today. I'll be sitting at a table in the Mayo Hall after the service with a bunch of tickets and would be delighted to sell you one or two or three or however many you like. And if you have friends or acquaintances who might like to join us, they're very welcome and would love to see them, but they should please encourage them, but they should book in advance, please, during the week. And the current weather forecast for Bognor next Saturday is pretty good, actually. Some sun and temperatures around about 20 degrees. And just a quick reminder for those of you who are coming, the coach departs at 9:30 from outside the Rose Theatre, but please do try and be there by about 9:15 or so we can get away on time and won't be chased by traffic wardens. I'll have some information sheets available on the coach with lunch suggestions and ideas for things to do, etc. We should be back by 6:30. There's a reminder on the wall in the foyer for any of you who didn't take in the figures. Thank you.
Those of us who were here last Sunday afternoon, it was a gorgeous event celebrating the wedding of EJ and Jacob, and they've left us all a little gift. Please, it's yours. Take it away. Later on in the service, we're to receive somebody into membership, Nancy. Earlier on, a couple of weeks ago, Nancy hit one of the big O's. I'm not going to tell you which one. But this is a happy birthday, Nancy. Yay! Up you get. Let everybody have a look at you. Up you get. Woohoo! Happy birthday to you. Yay, good. And while we're on the subject of big O's, and not a birthday this time, even I noticed that there's red in this. Come on, even you must notice that there's red in this. John, can you feel me coming towards you? Ruby Wedding, congratulations to you. Please take this to Margaret. Yeah, good. Shall I give you a kiss? Yes, I'm going to give you a kiss. Yay. So that's John and Margaret Davis, married for 40 years. Let us join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. Praise the Lord. We will thank God with all our hearts as we meet with God's people. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord and all who delight and ponder on God. We join to sing, "Come, All You Vagabonds." We say, happy is the person who honours the Lord, who takes pleasure in obeying God's commands. The good person's children will be powerful in the land. Their descendants will be blessed. Their family will be wealthy and rich, and they will prosper forever. Light shines in the darkness for good people, for those who are merciful, kind, and just. Happy is the person who is generous with their loans, who runs their business honestly. A good person will not fail. They will always be remembered. They are not afraid of receiving bad news. Their faith is strong and they trust in the Lord. They are not worried or afraid. They are certain to see their enemies defeated. They give generously to the needy, and their kindness never fails. They will be powerful and respected. The wicked see this and are angry. They glare in hope and disappear. Their hopes are gone forever. Have a seat. We join to pray. Let us pray. Lord, you are the host here and we are the guests. We come in the knowledge of your welcome to feast on the riches of your word. yet we are also hosts to one another. Help us to welcome one another with joy and kindness. And may the grace of your welcome fill each one of us, that we would be welcoming to one another and welcoming to all those that we meet this week. For we confess that often in our busy lives we do not leave time for hospitality. We worry that those who talk to us might want something from us. We worry that those who come to our homes may have high expectations that we cannot meet, and the unexpected guest throws some of us into complete panic. And then we think of Jesus. He had no home of his own, and yet he gave hospitality wherever he went, opening his arms to friend, to outcast, to stranger alike. Take away our fears. Forgive our selfishness and help us to open ourselves to others and to open ourselves to you. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. This morning we're going to play a game of Let's Pretend. We're going to pretend that we're going to host a big feast in the newly decorated Mayo Hall. I want you to think about who you would like to invite to our feast. Right, just think about it and I'll ask the children. Who would you like to invite to a feast, our feast?
My family. Also my family.
This is my lovely assistant, Jenna, and she's going to be writing down the suggestions. Okay, anybody else? Oh, Jesus. Janine at the back. Andy Murray. we must have some more suggestions. Come on. Keanu Reeves, okay. Friends, okay. Sorry? Neighbours. Oh, they're coming thick and fast now. You didn't write Keanu Reeves down there. Okay. People from the foyer? Yes. Oh, people from other churches. Joni. Ooh. I don't know if I agree with that. Pets. Ooh. Hmm. Yeah, yes.
Musicians.
Musicians. Okay. Rose. Who? Homeless people. That's a good one. And sick people. Jane. Oh. Local charities. Never mind. Oh, do you think we'll fit them all in the Mayo Hall? Okay, well, that's great. So we're going to go out now and learn about who Jesus would suggest that we invited to feasts like this. Okay?
Because, cue for a song, he's got the whole world in his hands. Hooray! It's not just thrown together, this service, you know. Right, so we want three verses. He's got the whole world in his hands is the first one. What's the second and the third verse? He's got the... Where have they gone? Where have they gone? He's got the... He's got the... Tiny little babies. Verse two. What's the third verse? You and me, brother. All right, so we've got you and me, brother. You and me, sister. Okay, so right. He's got the whole world in his hands. Tiny little babies. You and me, brother. You and me, sister. Ignore the words apart from that verse. Okay? Are you ready? Hear one of Jesus' parables. The thing is, when you've heard preaching on parables many times, you tend to think that there's a right answer. The thing about a parable, and the reason why they're such a fantastically brave way to teach, is that you can interpret them in different ways. So, we can never repay God for God's abundant gifts to us. We can, though, model community. Katie Frost will read this passage to us.
This is reading from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 and then 7 to 14. Jesus heals a sick man. One Sabbath, Jesus went to eat a meal in the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and people were watching Jesus closely. Jesus noticed how some of the guests were choosing the best places, so he told this parable to all of them. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place. It could happen that someone more important than you has been invited, and your host, who invited both of you, would have to come and say to you, "Let him have this place." Then you would be embarrassed and have to sit in the lowest place. Thanks. Instead, when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place so that your host will come to you and say, "Come on up, my friend, to a better place." This will bring you honor in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who made themselves great will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be made great. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and in this way you will be paid for what you did. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they are not able to pay you back. God will repay you on the day the good people rise from death.
Do you worry? Do you wonder about your position in society and your social power? Have you ever been to a meeting where nobody listened to you? Have you ever been in a situation where you knew what the answer was and you were not welcome? And some of us know what that is like, because of issues around gender and race and mental health problems and class and education and age. We have that experience. And if you have not, well, I would say to you, beware, because there is a train coming, and that train is the train of life. And if things go well, you will get old, and the way people view you will change. But not God's view. Evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. D.T. Niles. Me? A beggar? What a cheek. I've earned what I have. I have worked for it. I'm up in the morning. I'm cautious in my habits. I'm moderate in my drink and my food. I help others when I can fit it in. What I have earned. I'm self-motivated. And that is what Christians are meant to be. Motivated, hardworking. Certainly not an empty-handed beggar. Everything we have, everything we are, the position we've got to, the possessions we have, all we have has come by the grace of God. And the great news is that today, Nancy is choosing to journey with us. Not because we are perfect, for we are not. Not because we are the best church in Kingston, because we are not. Ask me what it is. Don't know. But because she has her failings and we have ours too. And because of the hospitality of God, there is room for her, Nancy, as there is room for each one of us. But alongside that, We don't downplay who we are. We don't underestimate who we are. Because each one of us is a loved child of the High God. That's who we are. Shoulders back, chest out. That's who we are. What others think of us, that's up to them. But that is who we are. And to be who we are, we don't have to look down our noses at others. We have a security because of God's love for us. God, in Jesus, opens his hands to welcome and to die on the cross. That's who we are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Once upon a time, church had loads of power in society. I would say it didn't use it well, but it had it. Our history in the United Reformed Church is that we never had power. We're nonconformist. That's our history. We're not part of the establishment. We never were. We don't want to be. Thank you very much. We've made a decision. It's cost our forebears dear. We're not part of the establishment. But people don't know about stuff like that. If you're a Christian, then you're just part of them. And they have certain markers. Some of them are totally terrible. Won't discuss those today, but you know what they are. A whole lot of markers, and one of them is Christians are part of the establishment. They hang around with the powerful. That's our expectation. That's the expectation that some Christians have of their place in society. I would say to you, if you think that being part of the church means that you are part of, in some way, part of the hanging around on the coattails of those that are powerful, I would say to you that that ship has sailed. It might have been how it was once, it is not how it is now, and it never was for people like us. Jesus, though, goes to eat with a Pharisee. Even in the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus eats with a Pharisee. This is the third time he goes to eat with somebody who is among the rich and the powerful. And he watches. And he watches how people behave. He watches. And then he offers words of warning. It's a loud theme in the Gospel according to Luke to be concerned about the marginalized. Elizabeth, who is the childless one. Mary, who is the young woman who's about to have a child. And when she knows it, she offers this poem, which is all about how those who are the poorest will be exalted and the lowly will be brought up. And still, the Pharisees, the rich and the powerful, Jesus goes to eat with them. The advice, though, that he gives is that when they have gatherings, they shouldn't just be inviting those that they want to suck up to, those who will invite them back. That's not the way that it's to be. He's not condemning them. He's warning them. Wealth and status are a blessing when they are used for the betterment of the whole of society. The message of Jesus Christ does not exclude the rich. He does, though, warn them that they need to be cautious with the privilege that is theirs. And let's be clear, it is the privilege that is ours. Not collectively as church, but for some of us. We have status associated with the fact that we have a home, We have status associated because we have security in our country. Class, skin colour, academic ability. For some of us, it's about age. But we need to remember and we need to hold close to us that our value, our status does not come from any of these things. We do not have a place at the table because of these things. We are invited, each of us, because of the initiative of God. People may put us down because of our race, our age, our failing memory, a stereotype about our views. You Christians, you all, they may put us down because of that. And we don't need to put them down for us to be worthy. We don't need to do that. We need to remember that when we come to the table, each of us comes as a guest. We are invited because we are loved, cherished, precious. We have not earned our place there. We have not got there because we stuck out our elbows and made sure that there wasn't room for others. We come because it's about Jesus and it's about the cross. So let us be silent together and then we will pray. In the still small hours of the morning, we worry. In the frantic rush of the day's work, we worry. And at the back of our minds, there is the worry. So let us be bold then and say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Lord, help us to focus our lives on what is important. Help us to love freely and without selfishness, and to live lives that express your generous hospitality. So we pray for those who suffer for your sake. And we pray for those who have no sense that they are loved or valuable. We pray for those who think that their value only comes because of the possessions that they have, the position that they have in society, the color of their skin, their age. For those who feel that they're worthless because of their disability, their shape, their lack of employment. Lord, show to us the value that we all have. Show to us the value that I have. And remind us that you are what we need. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So the Lord calls us to be here, and we respond. And one of the ways that we respond is in the words that we sing, the words that we hear from the scriptures, and one of the other ways that we respond is in the offering that we make our offerings will now be received. So let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord our God, on these gifts that we offer. They represent the people that we are and the change that your love has made on our lives. Thank you. Amen. So, we're going to sing. Hello, elders. We're going to sing. We're going to sing Abide With Me in practice for singing it at the cup final when Newcastle get there this season. Hooray! God in my baptism. We sing. Have a seat. So you ready for your dance? How scary is that? Look at all these people, and they're all looking at you. Don't look at them, look at me. Turn around. The reason we sang that, Abide With Me, is because it's Nancy's favourite hymn. Good. So it is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is in accordance with the decision of the elders and the church meeting of Kingston Knight Reformed Church that we are to receive you into membership today. Thank you. Nancy is not, as you all know, entering the pinnacle of her church life. What she's saying is that we are the gang of people that for this season of her life, she will be traveling with. By baptism, Nancy was received into the membership of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. She has affirmed her baptism, confessed her faith in Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord, and has accepted the privileges and responsibilities of membership of the Christ's Church. She now comes to unite herself with this congregation. So we invite you to renew your confession of faith and to promise to be a faithful member of this church. Nancy, do you confess anew your faith and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, maker of heaven and earth, giver of life, redeemer of the world? And do you promise to continue in worship and fellowship of the church in this congregation, accepting the gift and cost of following Christ and proclaiming by word and action the good news of God in Christ? Let us pray. God of all grace, you call us to be your servant people, and you gather us into the body of Christ. We thank you for sending Nancy to work with us in serving your kingdom. Confirm us all in the power of your covenant to live in your spirit, to love each other, and to share the mind of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Yay, God, see, that wasn't too frightening, was it? No, it wasn't. Good. Vaughan, up you come. No, don't go. Hey. Come, let us worship the one who frees us from disabling spirits, who releases us from the bondage of evil, and who enables us to rise up in his presence. Come to the table of the one who annoys the religious, who irritates the self-righteous, who turns the tables on outworn truths. Come to the table of the one who rescues us from ourselves, who confounds our hypocrisy, and who causes us to rejoice. And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body which is broken for you. In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me. We believe that this is the Lord's table, and we believe that everybody is welcome here. When the elders bring out the bread and the wine, when you get the bread, if you have problems with wheat and gluten, then there's provision for you in these wee fish. But when you get the bread, eat it. And when the elders bring you the wine, and for those of us who've got issues with alcohol, the good news is there's no alcohol in this wine. When you get the wine, could you hold it so that we can all drink together? Because the Spirit of God is for each one of us as individuals, but it's also for all. So let us pray. We give you thanks, Lord our God, for your love made known to us in Jesus. We thank you for his teaching. We don't like all of it. We find it difficult. We might find it easy to understand in our heads, but we find it really hard to live in our lives. But we thank you for it. We thank you for the challenge of it. We thank you for the inspiration of it. And above all else, we thank you for the love of his life. In his relationships with people, in his death on the cross, and also we thank you for your power in resurrection that is a power even over death. We thank you. We thank you that you are present with us through bread, through wine, transformed by your Holy Spirit to be for us the body and blood of Christ. But you are also present for us in one another. Thank you for sending Nancy to journey with us. Thank you for all those people who are part of the life of this church in a whole range of different ways. Thank you. Blessing and honor, glory and power belong to you, our God, for now, forever. Amen. He took bread, blessed it, broke it. This is my body, he said. It is broken for you. It is broken for you. And he took the cup. This is my blood, he said. It is shed for you. This is my blood shed for you. The body of Christ. So let us pray. God, our Creator, when we were being formed, you knew us and loved us. And thank you for this table that reminds us that you are in us and around us in the ordinary things of life. And may your love, your acceptance, transform the people that we are. That we would be gentler on ourselves and gentler on others. Lord, we pray. Amen. Now let us from this table rise. We join to sing our final hymn. In peace, to love, to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty be with us and those who we love, wherever they are. Thanks be to God. Amen.